May the dear Lord help me to say a few things this afternoon from the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16. The book of Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The command of God, awake. How we need this, each one of us, to awake out of our sleep, to awake out of our lethargicness, to awake out of those things that we've been asleep in for many years. Awake, what a concerning word this is to us each, isn't it? This afternoon, if we are found asleep. It's a blessing, you know, that the Lord comes and wakes his people up. You think, friends, if he left you asleep. You think if he didn't come and wake you. You know, when someone wakes us up, we're not always happy, are we? And naturally, if somebody was to wake you up, you're quite disappointed, aren't you? What about when the Lord woke you up? How did you feel? How did you really feel when he woke you up? The same as naturally, spiritually, friends. It's not a pleasant thing to be woken up, is it? You know, sometimes we're more happy asleep. You feel that you've escaped from everything. You hope nobody wakes you for a while. Well, friends, if you're there this afternoon, may the Lord awake you. May he awake us each to see our condition before him. May he not let us stay asleep, friends. It'll be a solemn time for us if he does. If you're found asleep when he comes. That's why he says they should be watching. They should be waiting. They should be ready. Well, I never thought to think on those things, but the word is here before us and the command of God. And it's like the Lord is asking and yet he's commanding of the north wind. Awake, O north wind. Now, how necessary the north wind is. We don't like it, do we? We wrap up from it, don't we? Or we stay indoors, away from it. And yet the Lord says, awake, O north wind. Awake. There's a work to be done. Nothing left undone. Remember that, friends. God doesn't leave things undone, like in Joshua. He left nothing undone. When the Lord begins to work in a soul, he begins to work in the soul. And he will continue the work on until he finishes the work. Not you or me. And we cannot begin with ourselves. Isn't it solemn? If we have begun with ourselves, we plead with the Lord to begin with us. He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Awake, O north wind. Oh, what a blessed thing it is. And throughout this verse, well, throughout all of Scripture, but throughout this verse we see such an experimental religion, don't we? We see the experience of a child of God. We see how the Lord deals with them and not how man deals with them. Awake, O north wind. Were you surprised when the north wind blew? Were you surprised, friend, when you felt the bitter cold? And what's the wind for? It establishes a soul. The same as it establishes a tree. You can't see what's happening, can you? But you know, the harder that wind blows, the deeper the roots go. And those little roots that are out of sight are clinging to the dirt. They're clinging to the earth. The more the wind blows. And you know, the more the wind blows, the stronger that tree is. And same with you and me. The stronger the north wind blows to us. Where are your roots clinging, friend? Where are mine? They should be clinging to the rock, shouldn't they? You drive past these places, don't you, where you see the trees and all they're on is the rock. However do they stay there? You look at the beautiful roots that the Lord has produced for those trees that live upon the rock. They cling with all their might to the rock. This afternoon, a question to our hearts. Are we clinging to Christ in everything? Around thy all-supporting stem, my feeble arms I twine. Oh, you would, wouldn't you? You'd hold him so tight, wouldn't you? You know, when you go to pull ivy off of a tree or off of anything, isn't it holding tight? Is that you and me? Awake, O north wind. Oh, well, this does a disturbing work in the soul, and yet, naturally, it cleans out. Naturally, all those things that were almost broken or no good blow off, don't they? They snap off. They break. They're no good to the tree, are they? The north wind does it. It does it to break down. It does it to bring to nothing. And you think, well, then that's the end of it. If the north wind comes and destroys me like that, that's the end of it. It's the beginning. It's the beautiful beginning, friends. When the north wind blows, what does it mean? You're being established for something better. A better hope. Oh, the experience of these gracious things in the soul. You know, when the Lord takes a soul and he starts letting the north wind blow upon it, it's one of the hardest things there are. It's something that you've never come to before, isn't it? You can truly say with a dear Joshua, we have not passed this way heretofore, and it's something that you really don't understand as the north wind blows. And you think everything's being broken off, everything's being snapped, everything's being taken down. But it's just the beginning of what the Lord is doing in the soul, what the Lord is doing for us each. It is a work that we must have, the north wind. You know, you can tell a dead tree, can't you? Because when the wind comes, it just blows over, doesn't it? Or snaps off. You see bits in the road, don't you? We need to be green trees planted by the river. We need to be fruitful trees planted by the river. Oh, what a blessing it would be, wouldn't it? I know some of you are, but we all need to be. If we're going to heaven, friends, that we need the work of the Holy Spirit within us each. It's not to see others go in, is it? What about me? We're watching daily, aren't we? We're watching over the generations. You know, friends, when I was a little boy, I came in here and there were so many old people. And now there's so many young people. What's happened? They've been gathered home. They've gone to glory. And we've watched them, slowly, one by one, taken home to be with Jesus. And friends, we don't want to be left out, do we? I'm not speaking of free will, friends. I'm speaking of free, eternal grace. The freeness of his spirit in a soul. Oh, awake, O north wind. Well, the north wind does come and it's bitter and it's cold and it's something that we don't like, but it's good for us. For each one of us, it's good for us. You know, there was a dear old lady of old, and in the village that she lived, the soldiers were coming. And she could hear them coming. Did it disturb her? They were burning everything as they came. In another country. And what did she do? The north wind was blowing. As she went to God. And he gave her a precious word. When the north wind blows in your heart, friend, do you go to God? Does he speak to you? Does he give you something? You've sung that lovely hymn, that first one, haven't you? How soft the words my Saviour speaks. We sing it, don't we? But do we really know it, friends? Do we really know it? Heaven's voice in our hearts, the condescension of the word of eternal God dropping into our hearts. Well, it did for this dear old lady, and do you know what he said to her? A wall of fire I'll be, and the glory in the midst. They came, and the dear old lady kept poring over the Bible, reading it, praying, reading, praying, reading, praying. It's not an easy path, is it? When the north wind comes, it'll make you pray, friends. When the north wind comes, it'll make you plead with him. When the north wind comes, it'll make you read. Oh, it will. If nothing else does this will. This north wind. And she stayed there all night, pleading and praying and pleading and praying. And she heard the soldiers come and she heard them go. She still had her Bible. She still had her house. She still had her God. And her son got up in the morning and he said, he asked her how she was and she told him the word the Lord had given. And they opened the front door and they couldn't get out. You might know the story, friends. The whole place, the whole house had been covered in snow. The soldiers didn't even see it. And they had to dig the way out and they got the old lady through the passageway of snow and they stood her out in the road and she looked back and she said, I knew he'd do it. When the north wind blows, this precious north wind that comes from God is for the church. We tend to think that it's for the world. There is a north wind coming, friends, that's going to blow for the world. But the north wind here is for the church. It's for every soul that's going to glory, this precious north wind that blows. To establish them. Because, you know, if you and I don't have, or the church doesn't have this north wind blow through it, you'll never be ready for spring. You'll never be ready for those lovely things that are to come. But this is a prelude. This is something that goes before spring. This is something, friends, that is found in the heart before the Lord reveals himself, before the blessing comes. I know the Lord is a sovereign, and I know he can do it exactly how he delights to do it. He can begin with a soul, but here we have the pattern. Here we have the order in which God does. And we do worship a God of order. We do not worship a God of chaos. He is orderly in everything he does. Your life and my life are ordered. David said that lovely word, didn't he? Ordered in all things and sure. Everything. Everything ordered for us. Everything upon this the face of the earth is ordered. Everything in the universe is ordered by an orderly God. And he says, awake, O north wind. Perhaps this afternoon, one or two of you are in the north wind. Perhaps it's blowing across your pathway. What's your one desire? Is it like the church said here? And come thou south. Oh, have you prayed that? Have you been down on your knees and come thou south? Have you been pleading, come thou south wind? Oh, come. That gentle breeze. You know what it's like, and I do, when the spring comes. It's almost like everything changes, isn't it? It's just like all that we were in through the winter is gone. And suddenly there's a lovely fresh breeze come up, isn't there, from the south. And what is it? It's warmth, isn't it? It's warmth, it's a breeze. Now the south wind doesn't destroy, does it? The south wind isn't bitter, is it? We wouldn't hide from the south wind, would we? The south wind is beautiful to us in nature. to us poor creatures, and God has made it so. We look forward to the spring. We look forward to the south breeze, don't we? So does the soul that's born again. So does the Christian. So does the believer. They long for those warm days. They long for the warm breeze, don't they? They long for that warmth that comes from God and comes from God alone. You know, if you make anything warm, what does it do? It rises. Anything upon the face of the earth, you make it warm, it doesn't drop, it rises. It's the same in the soul. Anything that comes from God makes it rise. The south wind, it goes up. It's naturally, it's all it can do. The warmth rises. And so in the soul, at the moment the south wind comes, so does the soul rise. And it rises to the Lord. But what does it bring with it, the south wind? It brings consolation, doesn't it? It brings comfort. It brings those feelings that you've been longing for. A soft heart. That's what it brings. You know, when Job says, "The Almighty maketh my heart soft," it wasn't the north wind blowing then, was it? That had blown. Oh, dear Job, that had blown, hadn't it? But now it was the soft breeze from the south. He could say, "My heart is soft." Just personally, friends, don't you look forward? Don't you long for a soft heart? Isn't it something that you really desire? You know, I remember as a little boy seeing my dad in the bedroom, and he was reading a book, and I went and asked him if he was all right, and he said this. He said, "Do you know, Marcus," he said, "I love a soft heart." Well, I didn't really understand what he meant then. I do now. I do now, friends. That's what he was looking for every day, a soft heart. That's what he was longing for, that south breeze. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are, child of God. That south breeze will come. It will. Paul said, "The wind blew softly," dear old Paul. He was out on the boat, wasn't he? "That wind blew softly," he said. But it wasn't long. It wasn't long before it changed. Before it was tempestuous. And what's that teaching us? That we should never take for granted anything. You know, I really believe, friends, if the Lord kept allowing the soft wind to blow into your life, you'd expect it tomorrow. You'd keep expecting and expecting and expecting it. And you'd take it for granted. He doesn't do that. He won't have you and me take anything for granted. He won't. We do. Sadly, we do. And, oh, don't you have to confess it? Do you confess what you take for granted from him? You do, don't you? Do you go and say, "I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry again. And again. And again. For what you've taken for granted." But you know, the hymn writer says we could turn his very grace to sin. That's how bad you and I are. But he won't allow it. Blow thou south wind. Now there's our neighbour. He's brought this instrument. It's a lovely looking instrument. And it tells him how fast the wind's going, where it's coming from. It tells you lots of things about the wind. He's very pleased with it. But I started thinking about it, friends. Has God given you the same instrument in your heart? Can you tell which wind is coming from God? Can you tell which way it's coming? Can you tell how fast it's coming? Can you tell how soft it is? There's so much, isn't there? These outward things teach us of the inward, don't they? And have you got that barometer in your heart? Have you got the instrument to show you and to tell you and for you to apply it to your own heart when the south wind blows? I believe, friends, I really believe this. You'll know the difference between the south and the north wind. And yet, a precious Christ is seen in both of them. He is. Oh, he's seen in both. He's not left out of any of it. He's there for the child of God to see. Awake and come. Oh, this lovely word. Come, dear Jesus. You know, when Dear John on the Isle of Patmos, he ends, doesn't he, the Revelations. And Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And he says, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come quickly. Are you in something today? Are you really in something today, friends? And you plead this down by your bed, you plead it in the bathroom, you plead it by the desk, you plead it at work, you plead it at home, you plead it in the car, you plead it down the street. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Do come. Quickly come. Oh, this coming of the south wind, and come thou south wind. Blow upon my garden. Blow upon my garden. Not anybody else's. I want it on my garden. My heart. You know, through Isaiah we read these words, don't we? The flower fadeth, the grass withereth, but the word of our God, it shall stand forever. It will stand forever. It won't fade, it won't wither. It will stand when everything else is withering, everything else is failing, and even you and I. When we fade, when we fail, if you have the word of God applied into your heart, it won't fail you. It'll never fail. It'll stand when everything else is failing round us. When this old body one day fails, and it will, won't it? This frail corpses that we're in, these frail bodies, these frail temples that we're in will fail. But the word of our God won't fail. Oh, come thou south, blow upon my garden. Blow those fresh gales of the south into my garden. Now, if we look at our garden, you and I have a garden, the garden of our heart. What's yours like? What's mine like? Have you been into the garden recently? Some people leave their gardens, don't they? And sometimes when you drive around, I wouldn't be judgmental, but sometimes when you drive around and you look into people's gardens, it doesn't look like anybody lives there. It looks like they've just left it. Thorns, brambles, briars, everything. No one to care for the garden. No one to look after the garden. What's yours and mine like this afternoon? Or may the Lord lead us into our own gardens so that we might be enabled to see. You know, there is such a thing as having artificial flowers. They won't do us any good, will they? They might look good. They might do what you think they might want to do for you. They might look as though you've been into the garden, but you don't have to water them. You don't have to look after them. All you do is look at them. Is that what your and my religion's like? Doesn't need tending. Doesn't need weeding. Doesn't need anything done with it. Just artificial. Sad, isn't it, that we can actually become like that? But the garden of the Lord, oh my garden. Apollos planted, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase. Now that's what you and I need. If you've got something artificial, friends, it'll never give any increase. It'll be the same year after year. It'll be the same every day. It'll be the same summer and winter. You won't have any difference. But those that need increase, you know as well as I do, and there's better gardeners here, you know that in the winter you clear out, don't you? You know, we had a plant in our garden and it completely died off. It had gone. And we thought, that's sad. There's such lessons here, friends. But as soon as the ground warmed up, as soon as the fresh showers came, up it came out the ground again. Is that like your heart and mine? Sometimes things disappear, don't they? And you think, I thought the Lord was doing this. It's no good for us to think, friends. Remember that word, it's not our thoughts, is it? It's his thoughts that matter. You think the Lord's just doing this and then it's gone. You let spring come and see what happens. There might be one or two with exercises. There might be one or two with those concerns of others, the children. There might be one or two with real prayer in their heart. You wait till the spring comes and you'll see what will happen. You'll see, friends. Oh, Southie, blow upon my garden. You know that I heard of a story of this man. He planted something in his neighbour's garden. And it wasn't long before that thing, that plant that he planted, took over everything. It grew and grew and grew until it was out of hand. Is that what Satan's doing with you? Has he planted something? And is it choking everything? Is it growing out of control? So many things, aren't there? In our garden, friends, nobody else's, my garden, the spouse says. I know there's many ways of looking at this. But it's our garden that should concern us, isn't it? Well, actually, it's us first, isn't it? I believe if the Lord tends to your garden, you'll have an exercise for others. You will. It's nice to have exercise for others, but what about your own garden? Blow upon my garden, dear Lord. Blow upon it. With those fresh gales of grace. You know, we can go right back to the beginning of time, can't we? And we can think of the Garden of Eden. What a beautiful place it was. He blew there, didn't he? What did he blow? The Spirit blew. He blew into Adam and he became a living soul. But friends, he also blew and he said, Adam, where art thou? In the garden. The voice of God in perfect paradise. And yet Adam fell in that garden. Adam, where? What about the south wind? Are the north winds blowing now? Where art thou? Where art thou? Does it concern us? It should do, shouldn't it, friends? Oh, we should ransack the scriptures to find out our names here. We should find out if my garden is all right. We should find out if the Lord is speaking to us. If the Lord is blowing his gale of grace in our hearts. It is a concern. Oh, it really is a concern. I believe the Lord exercises his people so much in these things. Blow upon my garden. But then we go to the Garden of Gethsemane. The north wind blew there, friends, for you and I. What do we hear the wind saying? Not my will, but thine be done. What a garden. What a garden. What a garden scene. A north wind so that you and I should know the south. The north wind blew there and it blew hard. So that you and I should know the softness. And they fell asleep. They fell asleep. That first word again, isn't it? Awake. You think as the dear Lord Jesus went to and fro. Oh, how that north wind was blowing. And he must have looked at them and thought, this is for you. This is for you. What? Couldst thou not watch with me 1 hour? He says in another place, so kindly to them, doesn't he? He says they were asleep because of sorrow. They slept because of sorrow. But the dear Redeemer kept returning to them. What a garden that scene that was, wasn't it? Displayed to the eye of faith, friends, it'll break your heart. Displayed to us in the view of a precious Christ in the garden. It'll overwhelm you. It'll overwhelm you if the south wind blows from that garden and says all this was for you. To hear him. Sacred language, isn't it? Do you know it's so sacred, friends, that he went into that garden carrying the church. You know, as you look at that garden, he'd never been on the ground before, had he? Prostrate on the ground. Never. Never. He brings his people there, doesn't he? But you know, the dear Son of God was prostrate on the ground in the garden so that you and I should have the south wind blow. Oh, we shouldn't take it for granted, should we? We should treasure. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Every single wind that comes, south wind, is through a precious Christ and what he did. Through his work. Through his preciousness. Through his merits. That's why the south wind blows. Next time you feel the south wind, friends, next time you feel it blowing in your heart with a gentle whisper from glory, from the Spirit, next time you have a precious promise sealed to your heart, next time you have the mountain in your heart, you know, remember the garden through which it came. And then the precious garden of the tomb. He said something there too, didn't he? You think of the gentle breeze that blew there to Mary. He said this, I ascend unto my Father, your Father. Do you know there's a south wind to her that blew so beautifully into her heart? Mary, Mary, Rabboni. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That did it, friends. That's all she needed for time and for eternity. She knew in those words she was safe forever. I do love the way the dear Lord speaks, you know, in Scripture, the way he speaks right throughout Scripture, because he seals his word to the people. And there's more in it than ever we realise. You may have received a word from the Lord, a promise 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Did you realise what was in it? No. You thought at the time it just meant that. You thought at the time it was just helping you through that. You thought at the time it just lifted you up where you were, didn't you? Now what do you think? I'll tell you what you think, friend. You think it lifted me there, it lifted me there, it lifted me there, it lifted me there, it's lifting me today, and I hope one day it's going to carry on lifting me. Same word. It's good how the Lord teaches, you know. He doesn't teach like man. He doesn't teach like you and I think we're going to learn. He teaches his way. Oh, the ability of the gracious Spirit through the Lord to work, that the spices might flow out. The spices. Those things. Do you realise you've got spices in your heart, friends? The blessed work of the Holy Spirit. You've been into a garden, haven't you? You know, we visit sometimes National Trust gardens. Oh, the smells. The beauty. Friends, it's almost too much, isn't it? That God gave it to poor sinners to look at. God gave it to poor sinners, hell-deserving sinners, to see and to smell. Many go around and they appreciate it naturally. But it's to go round and see Christ in it. That's the difference. There's such a difference if you see Christ in something. It just changes everything, doesn't it? There's a man at work and he's a keen gardener and he displays a lot of flowers, he displays a lot of things. And he brings me photos of them to show me. Oh, I said to him the other day, wouldn't you like to see the artist of those? Wouldn't you like to see the painter? Do you see him, friends? in the beauties that he's left for us. Listen to that lovely word he said, I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valleys. Could he say anything more soft, more beautiful to you? Oh, the garden. You know, recently we went away and in the place that we stayed, through the window there was something shining so great out the back. And I thought I must go and have a look. And all in a corner, just catching as much sunlight as it could, was a lily. Two heads of a lily and the sun shining on the leaves. Do you know, it was beautiful to my heart. It was just as though this lily said, look up. It was just as though this lily said, do what I'm doing. It never made a noise. It's been round that garden for many a year, taking in as much sunlight silently as it can, growing. Oh, it did me good because it was almost like it said this. I know they don't speak. Look up and go quietly on. That's what I've been doing for years. And friends, that lily's going to carry on doing that. Can you see a precious Christ? He will not lift up his voice in the street. He whispers gently to his people, look up, look up. And if ever a lily of the valley, our dear Jesus, went quietly on, he did. He just went quietly on, step by step, day by day, knowing what was in front of him, and yet he kept walking towards it. We don't know what's in front of us, do we? He did, friends, and in the gracious attitude of his Holy Spirit, he went towards it for you and I. Do you know he's the best plant in the garden, isn't he? He really is, isn't he? Whichever way you look, friends, as we read those beautiful words in these two chapters, he stood out, didn't he? Well, does he stand out in your garden? Has he been to your garden? You know, like Mary, she turned round, didn't she? Supposing him to be the gardener. He is, friends. He is the heavenly gardener. Has he paid you a visit? He is the heavenly gardener. It's a lovely word, isn't it? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Look how he tends to the garden. And do you know, even while she was standing there, looking at him and thinking these things, he was gardening in her heart. He carries some lovely seeds with him, friends. He really does carry some lovely seeds. He makes them grow, he waters them, he tends them, he looks after them. Then what does he do? He comes into the garden and he gathers lilies. He gathers them. Just like I was saying this morning about that whole generation that's gone. He came into the garden and he gathered lilies. Where did he take them? To plant them above. That's where he took them, friends. To plant them forever in his garden above. To plant them near him. Why? Because he loves them. He loves his people near him. He absolutely loves his people near him, friends. Do you know, Joseph said, didn't he? A people near unto me. He wanted to be near his brothers. He had spent so long away from them. And now he wanted to be near them. You put that to Jesus, friends. Oh, the garden above. If the Lord let you look into that garden. I know the walls are high. But there's a door open. There's a door open in heaven. John saw it. He looked in. And he saw the garden above. Paul looked in. And he saw the garden above, and he said he'd come back, he couldn't explain it. He heard things that he couldn't speak of. The beauties. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. This is completely different to how I thought, friends. But it's the garden and the gardener. Oh, may we be something in his garden. May we really be. And the spices that flow out. The spices, the spirit. The fruits of the spirit flowing out from a poor soul. The spirit flowing out. The spices, friends. And do you know what? They gladden the heart of God and man. The spices, because it's all his work. It's all the spirit's work, and it's flowing from your poor heart. Listen, it says that the spices may flow out. Once they start flowing, friends, you won't be able to stop them. You won't. You'll long for them to come. You'll long for the south wind. You'll long for the spices to flow out. And once they start flowing, you can't stop them, can you? And where do they flow from? And they flow from your eyes. They flow from your mouth. And they flow from your heart. And you can't stop them, can you? You know those times when a precious Christ has visited, don't you? You know those times when you can't keep still, when you can't stop talking about him. You know those times when you can't stop weeping. You know those times when your heart is all aflame? You know those times when the springing up, don't you, in the well of your heart? You can't stop it, can you? He's visited the garden, friends. He's come in. He has. And the spices, they immediately flow out, don't they? Oh, these times are flowing out. Flowing to the goodness of the Lord. Flowing to his name. Flowing to his glory. Flowing for the benefit of one another. Flowing for his church. They flow out. They do. Do you know, the dear Redeemer can't be hid anywhere, can he? Where he is, friends, he makes himself known. I know he hides himself from us. I know he hides himself from his church. But where he displays himself, where he shows himself, he can't be hid. Years ago, I came home, and Emily had a bunch of flowers upstairs. The moment I opened the front door, I could smell them. I went from room to room. I went upstairs, went from room to room. It wasn't long before I found them. And now, if the dear Lord Jesus visits your home, visits your house, visits your garden, it won't be long before you find him. It won't. Because the spices in his heart, the spices that flow out from him, they're for the benefit of the church. They're for the benefit of every soul that he's come to redeem, that he comes to love. Do you know, I've run out of time. You know, the dear Lord Jesus has a garden, a beautiful garden. It's his heart. It's his heart. Everything flows through that heart to you and me. The spices, the beauty. The dear ladies in the scripture, we can read it in at home, can't we? But the dear ladies in the scripture, where one of them brought the alabaster box. She brought it and she broke it. Very costly. Very costly. It wasn't a waste. She broke it and she poured it over the dear Redeemer's head and down over his body. And they complained. They said if he were to know how expensive this was, it would be what a waste it was. He said, she hath let her alone. She hath done this to anoint me for my burial. And the odour filled the house. Friends, does the odour fill your house? It was noised about that Jesus was in the house. Lovely days, aren't they? Lovely times when the dear Redeemer's in your house. Lovely days when you feel him near and dear and close. Lovely days when you can commune with him. Lovely days when you say, can say, it is enough, Lord, it is enough. The odour filled the house. And another dear lady, I think it was Mary, wasn't she? She came and she anointed his feet. She anointed his feet, washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Think of what was going through her heart, friends. The spices. She brought her best to him. In our natural mind, we want the best. In our natural mind, we would keep the best. In our spiritual mind, we would give our best to him. We would. You wouldn't hold back, would you? You wouldn't, would you? She gave this costly ointment to his feet. Those precious feet that walked for her. Those precious feet that showed her the way, those precious feet that were going to Calvary to be nailed, were showing her the way. She anointed them. Well, there's so much here, isn't there? Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let him come. It's a lot to think about, isn't it? It's a lot to meditate upon, isn't it? Do you know you don't want to leave it, do you? The Lord in our garden. Us in his garden. Ripening. And the lovely thing is, you know, when the Lord ripens a soul, you see a lot, don't you, this time of the year, where the fruit's on the ground. His fruit doesn't drop to the ground, friends. When it's perfectly ripe, he takes it off. Takes it with him. Ripe. Ripened for glory. But the seed must come from him in the beginning. The seed must be planted by the Holy Spirit in the beginning for us ever to ripen, to be taken with him. I'll leave it. Just have another read when you get home, friends. Because it is so beautiful, isn't it? Just this one verse. To see him in every word. To see the stages of a soul. And to know that at the end, when he's made his people ready, when he's got everything ready, he says, come, come. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely, friends? That's our desire, isn't it? All the way through our lives, come, Lord Jesus. Let the south wind come. And at the end, he says to the soul, the winter is over and past. The time of the singing of birds is come. Oh, listen, friends. And the turtle dove is heard in our land. You know, the other day, I must just tell you this personally. The other day in the morning, very early in the morning, I loved the dawn chorus. It was just as though Satan got hold of me. I didn't know what to do. I begged of the Lord to help. And the dawn chorus, which I love, sounded to be so loud and a noise. It didn't help at all until the cuckoo sounded above it all. You know, it was so loud and distinct. Way above the dawn chorus, the cuckoo sounded. That did it. Oh, I did thank the Lord. I've remembered thee. I've remembered thee. The dawn chorus then turned into a dawn chorus of praise, friends. And this is what you and I need, isn't it? Then your spices start flowing, don't they? Then the pleasant fruits are seen, aren't they? The precious work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But it's only his work. I say it's only his work. It's not ours. Nothing to do with ours. You know, if it was our work, we'd be on the ground sinking. But if it's his work, he won't let you fall. He'll catch you before you hit the ground. He will. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, and that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come. That's another sermon, isn't it? Into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.